We do like to think of the Jefferson Exchange as something of a buffet with lots of different items to choose from, and it turns out thinking of a buffet makes us hungry. So we now feature once a month a food segment called Savor. Will Smith is our partner. He is a food stylist. He's back in the studio with me. Will, good to see you.
Good morning.
Which means, as a food stylist, he's well-versed in making food and making it look really good on camera. Every month he brings a topic, a recipe, and a guest. This month, something to ward off the gray days of midwinter, citrus fruit, along with Jeffrey Stewart, produce buyer from the Ashland Food Co-op. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Will, take it away.
Hey, hi. Hi, everybody. You know, in the darkness and coldness of the winter, there's this beautiful gift that I, again, hearken back to my grandmother and things she used to have on the tables, whether they were kumquats or tangerines. There was always citrus in the house. And it was funny. I did a sort of an informal poll of a lot of my friends, many from California, and it was amazing how many people did not know that winter was the time that citrus is being harvested. So really December, January, and February, all great months, and most beautiful sort of when you're feeling cold, down and out, it is really a gift of flavor and color. And so I'm sort of highlighting nine of these varieties. Two of them really rather new, but the other seven are really favorites from my grandmother's table growing up in San Diego. So Murcott, tangerine, and I have a photo. We can probably get this online somewhere.
We do. It's on our website right
Super.
Now. Put the whole thing up there. Yeah.
So this is a Murcott tangerine. It's actually developed in Florida in the early 1900s. It's a seedy variety, but it has really one of the truest, most beautiful, sweet sort of tangerine flavored of the citruses. And amazing, all of these, except for one on my photo glossary page, were all found locally. They may not be grown technically in this area, but in our listening area, yes. They came from a variety of places, supermarket, co-op, and a produce market also in Medford that I found.
Can I just jump in and
sure.
I skip it? Because the thing is this the finger
That's
lime?
That's the finger lime.
That's the one I was racking
amazing.
My brains on.
Yeah. So that in the bottom right corner is an Australian variety of citrus. It's finger lime. It's under production now, and it really has sort of an interesting culinary effect. So you literally cut the citrus in half, and you can actually squeeze the little balls of citrus in the membrane, so it's almost like a little fish egg. Mm-hmm. So you can use it on oysters on the half shell as a spice on seafood. So more of a plating sort of garnish option, but it really is amazing. They're grown in California now. You can buy them whole money order, or you can also try your hand at growing them in your greenhouse, because it's a really interesting, very sweet, and these beautiful colors, green, purple, pink. So that's one of my favorites, and that's a newer one.
It's a vegetarian caviar.
Exactly. It is like a citrus caviar.
When you talk about, yeah, for the garnish there.
It's so beautiful, and those little explosions in your mouth as your tongue breaks that membrane. Really beautiful.
So, Jeffrey Stewart, how easy or hard are any of these nine varieties that we're talking about here to obtain in the area?
In the past, it was tough. But recently, we've made this relationship with a grower in California. He's in Porterville. His ranch is called Deer Creek Heights, and he has spent a lot of time researching and bringing in some of these odd citruses. And as far as I know, he's one of the few out there that's growing things like finger limes and Buddha's hand, these really obscure things. And he's really getting people turned onto him and excited about him.
Buddha's hand. I'm hearing a trend here. Finger limes and Buddha's hand.
Right. So that citrus is divided into three families. So the citron, which is the sort of like finger-like citrus. Pomelo, which is more the grapefruit, sort of more bitter sort of flavors. And then the mandarin orange, which is really the classic ancient orange from China.
This is our Savor segment on the Jefferson Exchange. Will Smith, food stylist, back with us once again this month for an exploration of this time citrus with Jeffrey Stewart, a produce buyer from Ashland Food Co-op. Ideas on citrus food, obtaining, preparation, storing, any of that stuff. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org.
Super. We're going to keep going across the page. Meyer Lemon. So out of all the lemons that I've tasted in my life, it really is just this beautiful sort of it's a size of a little rounder than a conventional lemon, but has this almost honey quality to it. It's a much more complex, rounder, sweeter flavor. So anything that where you want something with that has a little bit more of a sugar content, lemonade, baked goods, breads, marmalade, that's going to give you just this really beautiful, full, round flavor of citrus and sweetness. And next to that's kumquat, something that I grew up with. My grandmother always had a bowl full on the table. They're definitely bitter. They're excellent for marmalade. I actually just like to pop them in my mouth. Just sort of this explosion of sweet, tart, and bitter. Love it. And then sort of a new, an orange. It is a cross between a Brazilian Bahia orange and also a navel. So it's a navel orange, but it has this sort of more pinky red flesh, and it has a much more balanced, rounder, sweeter flavor than the traditional navel orange. And I think probably, as far as an eating orange, my absolute favorite.
And that's called a Caracara?
Caracara, and really only available in the 80s. So it really is a new hybrid.
Okay.
And then in the middle, Oro Blanco. I'm a huge fan of grapefruit, so Oro Blanco is known. It's a cross between grapefruit and a pomelo. Much higher sweetness, again, rounder flavor. How people used to serve white grapefruit, sprinkle sugar on it, and you could relay it under the broiler or just with the sugar. This actually tastes like the sugar's already on it, so it's a really beautiful grapefruit. One of my favorites. Blood orange, one of the citruses that actually sort of do well in our rather exciting weather territories. So it can deal with a little cold, it can deal with heat. It's just, from the Mediterranean originally, has a really beautiful dark garnet color and a much more sort of stable, a strong base for flavor in the juice, not as acidic as a conventional orange. Delicious.
All right, and I want to remind our listeners that as we make references to middle of the page, bottom of the page, we're looking at Will's picture of citrus fruits. He got them all staged together and then put them into a single photograph that's on our website. It's the second one in the slideshow at the top of the item about today's Savor segment. If you want to follow along either now or later to be able to look at the pictures of what we're talking about. I'll have to add to the caption, obviously, to make sure that we fully understand what's going on there.
And we can do that, too.
So we got as far as blood orange. Now we're up to mandarins.
So mandarins. So that's the classic ancient orange. It's definitely peel and eat. It's a little seedy, has an excellent deep citrus flavor. Used in Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. The peel can aid in digestion as well. It's a beautiful, sweet orange, great for the holidays, on a table or baked goods. And then right there in the middle is sort of my grandmother's favorite, and I was asking Jeffrey that whether this popularity of that Satsuma tangerine has sort of passed, and it has. It was a huge fruit that was originally exported from Japan to Louisiana in about 1840s, and then it was quickly grown in. There's a Satsuma Texas, Satsuma Louisiana, Satsuma Alabama. So all these towns that grew Satsuma tangerine. So super, super popular the early 19th century here in America. Still a beautiful. It's seedy, but it's easy to peel. It has a great flavor.
Oh, so you're saying towns by that name?
Okay,
Satsuma, Alabama.
Where all the big ranches were.
That's amazing.
Yeah, huge tangerine for the U.S.
So Jeffrey Stewart, tell us, as a produce buyer, I could just imagine your head is probably swimming all the time with all the different varieties of produce within general categories of produce.
It's true, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, especially this time of year with citrus. And recently we've just have been bringing in all these different varieties. So if you're ever over at the co-op, right now we have a ton of great stuff. Some of my favorites are the sweet lime. It's a lime with literally no acid. Mm-hmm. And then the newest one, which we have this week that's on sale too, is the Triple Cross. They just recently crossed a Tangor, a Dancy, and an Encore Mandarin, all three of them together, and it's my favorite at this point.
Well, and that was a question I just had then about where we've gone with hybrids, because it seems like things were pretty straightforward in the America of the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, with Wonder Bread on every shelf and Cheerios in every cabinet as well.
One orange, one lime, one apple.
Exactly. And so it sounds like there's been a lot of people figuring out, okay, well, we like this trait in this fruit, so let's crossbreed it with another one.
Yeah, and not just citrus, but I mean apples these days especially. A lot of hybridization.
It's interesting to me as well, as because we're right on the band of whether it's feasible to grow here. But you know, I keep thinking about these trip I took to Spain, Granada, Spain in January. It was, you know, snow and ice on the streets, and all the streets had these beautiful Seville oranges growing, and they seem to not shy away from that cold at all on the streets. But maybe it's better in the city than it is on the
probably a little warmer in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, so you mentioned that a couple of times then, and I want to take that up, Will, then. So it's possible you can grow some citrus here out of doors or generally in a greenhouse?
Definitely some production. I spoke to a fantastic farmer, hobby farmer down in Anderson, California, who actually uses Christmas lights that she puts along the trees that guard against frost.
Are these the big old bulbs?
Just the small little bulb. It gives off enough heat that it totally saves her plants. But she says she's out there with horse blankets, tarps, everything when things go cold. But she has very good luck. She's growing a blood orange, a Satsuma, and mandarin. And mandarins and kumquats both are very, very hardy.
Okay, so they'll survive in more kinds of conditions.
Yep.
All right. So if the harvesting season is December, January, February, what's the growth season for citrus fruit? When do they first start budding on their trees?
It's a long process. Depending on the variety, I mean, we'll start seeing, you know, the first shots of citrus in October, and then go through varieties that will lead us all the way into varieties that are just coming on in March and April.
Right.
Some really late ones like Pixie Mandarins and Gold Nuggets, we won't see for weeks still.
Is there some season of the year where there simply is no, it seems like different parts of the world, you know, northern and southern hemisphere, somebody's always growing something, right?
Right. California has so many citrus districts that they can produce citrus year-round.
Citrus is the topic on this month's edition of Savor, our regular food segment with our food stylist, Will Smith. Jeffrey Stewart is the produce buyer from Ashland Co-op. He's here as well. If you've got questions about citrus, or answers for that matter, about citrus handling, preparation, care of, use in recipes, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And so as the new varieties have come around then, Will, have you sort of learned new recipes for dealing with it, it sounds like your own palate has grown.
Well, exactly, and I think that's what's interesting about the different varietals, is that they are just like a fine wine or a beer. You're able to pick and choose qualities that you may want, and you know, now when I grab a conventional lemon or lime, it's like, really? Just acid is really the only flavor. Mm-hmm. And these varietals actually go in, and you can start splitting hairs about what makes these flavors different. And, you know, blood orange has the almost raspberry sort of qualities to it. So some of these smaller varietals are excellent for baking purposes.
So if you're dealing with somebody, or if you are somebody like me who's like, okay, well, oranges are supposed to be about this big, and they're orange in color, and they're orange on the inside, you know, and lemons look like this, limes look like this. What's a good place to start deviating from the trail? I mean, I think we've all gotten used to Satsumas and things like that.
I think a Meyer lemon, people who've never had a Meyer lemon, when they have a Meyer lemon, they're pretty impressed. It's this beautiful, full-flavored, almost honey sort of quality to it, much, much higher in sugar, much less acid. But it really is, and to get used to something like a Meyer lemon lemonade, the simplest recipe, and it really will change your life on lemonades. Just excellent.
And what goes in besides the lemon and the
water? Just lemon and sugar and ice, and it's just a beautiful drink, as it always has been. But that Meyer lemon just nudges it up a notch.
We have a question from a listener, Carol in Humboldt County. Didn't stay on the phone line, but she wants to get a recommendation for an orange that is easy to segment for a salad.
For a salad. But at this point, Will was talking about earlier, the Murcott's a great one. They're still easy to peel, easy to segment.
And I personally, because of the depth and flavor, I think blood oranges in a salad are so delicious.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then what recommendations would you have on we're talking about pulling out individual chunk parts or slices?
Yeah.
Or?
No. You know, I think you know any of those the caracara peels really really well, and it's this it's the wrong adjective to use, but I would say it's like a beefy orange. It really feels heavy in the hand. It has some weight to it, and it has that much fuller flavor than a regular orange.
Is it fairly consistent across citrus fruits, though, Jeffrey, about how thick the skin should be? Because there's sometimes it's like, okay, this feels like it feels like a softball. It's got, you know, it's way too hard on the outside. I don't want to buy this particular orange. I want to go for one with slightly thinner skin. But I have no idea where I even picked this much up. So what are some good recommendations for feeling your way around the produce aisle?
You know, I mean, the citrus, they're so different. The skins are, you get like a navel that's super thick, and then you get to a Murcott that's really thin. And I think as long as what you're looking for is just something that's not overly soft, still fairly firm on the outside.
And really take an afternoon off. Again, we always want to try and get back to the market. Notice that it's winter. Notice that it's January. Notice that it's February. And what's available, you know, the co-op makes me cry because it's like two huge tables full of 24 different kinds of citrus. And that's pretty impressive.
That's crying in a good way, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, anytime you're in there, if you ever want to try anything, you know, find one of us in the produce and we'll be happy to
chop it up for you. So, and then the recipe, super easy. Again, I was just trying to find something that was sort of more wide-ranging. And one really fun thing that you can do is slice your – whatever your favorite kind of citrus is, slice it thin with a serrated knife. Put them all – the slices all out in one layer on a cooling rack on a cookie sheet. And you just want to do low, slow, so 200 degrees. You want to keep them off the top of the oven, put them on low oven, and you just want to dry those out. And it, you know, could take 2 hours. An orange may take 4 hours, so you sort of keep an eye on it. You don't want it to give any color. And then once you have these dried slices, you can use a food processor, process it with salt, and you can have a really beautiful finishing salt. For the kitchen, you can puree it with sugar. You have a beautiful thing to add to tea or baked goods, great citrus. You can actually, serve these in a dish on the table as a garnish for tea. It's great.
And is there any, I mean, but you're baking them, you're drying them out completely.
They're still not gonna... Exactly. They're going to be dry to the touch. Mm-hmm. And you can dip them in chocolate and let them dry, which is a really nice thing as well. You can put them in potpourri. You can put them in jars and keep them on the counter. It's just a great way to use up the citrus.
Grab the headphones. We have a call here. Let's bring in Wyatt in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with our Savor segment with Will Smith and our new guest.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning. I know you broadcast later, but I have just one question. Just going back a couple clicks about the Meyer lemonade. Mm-hmm. How do you do the sugar? You don't just throw a bunch of sugar in there, do you?
So you can find whatever your favorite lemonade recipe is, and literally, I would probably start at about a third of what you might use because this fruit in and of itself just has this beautiful sweetness to it.
Well, I'm just I guess my real question is more about sugar. Do you make like a you don't just throw sugar in there? Do you do a simple?
You could do simple syrup, certainly.
Sure, thank you.
You can also with this recipe with the dried slices. You could do dried Meyer lemon slices, puree that with the coarse sugar as well, and just another way to infuse that flavor because it's a really much different, warmer flavor than a conventional lemon.
Right, but you can cut down the sugar by that much.
Totally, okay. Yeah. Totally.
Wyatt, thanks for the question. That was a good one. So you mentioned about the preparation for salt. Can you walk us through that a little further?
Yeah. So again, you have to be patient. Put these in the oven, low temp. You just have to monitor them. So it's a half a day affair. Once they're totally dry to the touch, they will keep in a jar, a Ziploc bag. You can use small food processor or a larger one or even a blender. You want to take two or three slices of your favorite citrus and then a half a cup of sugar or salt and puree that. And again, there's no wrong answer. It's really up to your flavor profile.
Jeffrey Stewart, before we go, I just want to ask about how far citrus is traveling to get to the likes of the Ashland Food Co-op. I mean, how many countries are providing the kinds of stuff you put on the shelves there?
Well, this time of year, everything is California. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a lot of you who are in the co-op, when you see the 5-pound Satsuma boxes that we have, those are all coming from Johanson Ranch, who is one of the northernmost citrus growers in California. In fact, Co-op uses a 200-mile radius to call something local, and he's about 196, so he's right in there. So
I love that.
Technically, we do have a local citrus supplier. So, but yeah, this time of year, it's all Northern California.
6 months from now, where's most of it going to come from? Like Chile, Argentina or something?
Yeah, and at that point, the co-op really just backs off from citrus, and we'll just wait till it comes back into season. There's not a whole lot of need to be bringing in South American citrus in the summer.
Okay, exactly. What you talk about. Eat what grows near you.
Exactly.
In season.
It's a little bit of exercise, but you can do it.
All right. So citrus obviously coming up from California at this time of year. I want to thank you so much for being here once again. Will Smith is our partner in the Savor segment, and Jeffrey Stewart is the produce buyer for the Ashland Food Co-op. Good to have you both in the studio.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.